Dr. Kagan for her courage in writing this book. In 2006, I conducted a seminar on grief for professionals and hospice workers. A middle-aged businesswoman who worked for the organization asked me about something that happened to her when she was almost killed. She was severely injured in a car crash and left her body at the scene. She immediately saw an old man in a gray robe standing beside the road. The man had an extremely long gray beard, carried a staff, and wore an odd hat. And she felt he was there to carry her across to the afterworld. Incidentally, I hadn't mentioned Menippus or other walkers between the worlds during my presentation. The woman spontaneously related her experiences out of her own curiosity. I suspect such encounters have been with us for thousands of years, and no doubt occur to quite a few individuals. Dr. Kagan's thought-provoking account is an excellent example. Dr. Raymond Moody. This is a true story. Some names, places, and other identifying details have been changed to protect individual privacy. The timing of some events has been compressed to facilitate the telling of the story.
Part 1. Still Billy. 1. The first thing that happens. The Miami-Dade police left a message on my answering machine at 9 in the morning. If you know William Cohen, please contact Sergeant Diaz at 305. Oh no. Billy must have been arrested. Not prison. Not again. Not this late in his life. It still made me queasy to think about the time my brother was arrested almost 30 years ago. The thud of the gavel, the words, 25 years to life, my mother crying in my arms, begging the judge to change his mind. The day I watched the police handcuff Billy and drag him off to Sing Sing for selling cocaine was probably the worst day of my life. I was shaking when I punched in the phone number of the Miami police. This is William Cohen's sister. Has he been arrested? No, Sergeant Diaz said in his soft voice. He was hit by a car at 2:30 this morning. I'm sorry. Your brother is dead. My heart went cold. Dead? My head spun. I was dizzy. I reached for a chair and sat down. What happened? William was coming from the emergency room at South Miami Hospital. He was drunk and ran out onto the highway, the sergeant reported. Were you there? I asked. Yes, ma'am. I was called to the accident scene. Was Billy injured? Injured? What am I thinking? He'd been run over by a car. I mean, was he taken to the hospital? No, ma'am. Your brother never knew what hit him. Died instantly. Didn't suffer at all. Died instantly? Didn't suffer? How on earth could he know that? The sergeant was trying to cushion the blow, but it wasn't working. William was wearing a hospital ID bracelet. We got your name and phone number from their records. So that's how they found me. Billy always wrote me in as his in-case-of-emergency person. Sergeant Diaz cleared his throat. Listen, ma'am, you don't have to identify the body. The bracelet is good enough. Better to remember him as you do now. Better to remember him as you do now? Oh, my God! The sergeant must have heard me start to cry, because the next thing he said was, it's kind of against regulations, but if you give me your address, I'll send you the things your brother had on him. Since I didn't have to view Billy's post-accident body, there was no reason to fly from New York to Miami. By the time my 62-year-old brother died, he was homeless, so everything he owned was in his pockets. My brother had left things neat and tidy for me, not like when he was alive. What I had worried about for years had now happened. Billy was dead. I called Billy's drug counselor at South Miami Hospital. Eddie's voice was